Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Welcome, everyone, to our new station, 92.5 FM and 890 AM.
Yeah, and this is Elder Care Radio.
I believe fix that, huh? We're not 94.9 anymore. I got to fix that one.
Right.
And I also believe this is our 100th broadcast.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
We would have no idea that we would have been here this long talking about, you know, uncomfortable things on the radio. And we're going to do some more of that today, too.
We should have a party.
We should invite everyone.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time. But it is always exciting to be here and to feel like we're helping some people get a better understanding of how to manage their health care or deal with the things that happen in old age, either for ourselves or for the ones we love. And so it's really a privilege that we're still here. And we appreciate the support from our listeners this last couple of weeks. We've gotten some people contacting us saying, hey, I saw an article in a magazine.
And
not just one magazine, but, you know, in different places where they're starting to see the information that we're giving and recognizing it. And we think that's great. You know, it's...
Well, and interestingly enough, often they will call and say, I was reading this article and guess what? They left out the part about palliative care. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's a common, you know, I'm going to say problem, but keeping in mind that the program can benefit everyone, from children to the elderly, the palliative care program can, and it's often covered by your long-term care insurance for the elderly, and always covered by Medicaid and Medicare, and it's 100% free. So it is a program you should look into.
Yeah, and we're trying to get more people to understand that, and when we get those good events where people actually call us and say, hey, I was reading and I saw this article that kind of applies, and they send us a copy of the article and we get to review it, that's great. And then on the other side, we also get experiences that show that there's a large group of people that still don't understand what can be available. And that large group happens to include a number of doctors.
Yeah, physicians are often I'm going to say problem, is that right? Because they're still, in this town at least, or in Utah in general, they're still under the understanding that it's the typical hospice and palliative care program, which is Medicare's minimum standards of, you know, medication and comfort measures while you pass. And so they're looking for that last, you know, 2 weeks of life, which is available, absolutely available, but it doesn't give the veracity of services that are available through an expanded palliative program. And that's really why we're here. That's why we opened this company, and we're hoping to educate the physicians. So if you have heard our program or you've talked to your doctor and thought, hey, this sounds like a program that we really need. We've been struggling. We need assistance. And your doctor says, oh, you're not ready for that yet. Say, have you actually looked at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care's website, or have you spoken with them directly? Because with the restrictions that we're under right now, most of the doctors in this town have not had the privilege of meeting with them and educating them on what can be available.
And we believe that there's at least three or four doctors out there that aren't listening to KDXU religiously and to Elder Care Radio every week. And so we're still trying to get that message out. And we see that there's some times that doesn't happen, doctors still are operating under the same perception that a lot of people have. And that is that, well, if you use the word hospice, that must mean we're at the very end of life, the last few days.
We're dying.
Yeah, and that is not what it should be. Palliative care certainly doesn't have any restrictions, but if we're able to provide that palliative care at no cost by making that fit within the hospice provision, then there's just a lot of benefit available. And so that's what we'd like to get across. So if you've talked to a doctor about it and they've said, no, you're not ready, encourage them to talk to us, so that they may get a little different perspective. And we would, if you wanted to talk to them together, you know, we can all get on the phone and talk about it so that you can hear, you know, what your doctor's concerns are and you know, what the alternatives might be, so that you can make a better informed decision.
Sadly, I find that it's often in oncology, in the cancer clinics, where the concerns of saying, Yeah, maybe palliative care, it's time for palliative care, is hard for the doctors to discuss because it often has, they believe, not understanding the program completely, that it's saying that, you know, all hope is gone. And this is absolutely not a program about giving up hope. This is a program about keeping hope and remaining hopeful. This is an opportunity for you to live your very best life and enjoy experiences and reduce stress. And it's especially important for the caregivers to allow them opportunities to have help either in their home or in the facility, which kind of brings up another interesting topic. We've had, Richard mentioned that we've had a couple of our listeners bring in articles to talk about things that they have read. And we always love that. We love visiting with our listeners. And one of them came out of the Costco
connection. Yeah, so we had a listener actually bring us a copy of the article from the January Costco connection. And I think many of us get that. If you don't, we're just going to cover it here. And it was about elder care, which is a huge issue in this community. We have a lot of people who are caring for elderly. In fact, studies show that about 20% of Americans are providing some care for somebody else. And so it's a big issue.
Probably higher than that in this community.
But as we were reading this article, it just kind of talks about a few issues that come up with elder care. And then it says, but there are some things that you can do. It all costs money, or, you know, you can get some apps that'll help with some small part of it, you know, an app that will help with keeping track of medications. You can buy some equipment that will keep people from being able to have access to medications except for particular times, and, you know, those kind of things. And certainly it was intended to create a monetary incentive for these companies to get involved in it. But the part that it really missed was that there's options available that can actually bring a lot more care at no cost.
And
that
resources, was, so many yeah. resources on a state level, on a federal level, your Medicare, your Medicaid, your long-term insurances. And this article did fail to mention any of those. While it did talk about the struggles of caregivers, it didn't talk about any of the resources available. I kind of chuckled as I read it and thought, gosh, I probably need to get a hold of the Costco connection and let them know that they should be listing the free resources for our seniors, especially, you know, in a valley like St. George, where there's so many seniors here. And then Richard reminded me that the Costco connection is a monetary
they're there for a purpose. And all these companies that are named in here, you know, are getting something out of that. So we just want people to know that, elder care is an important thing to take into account. And we want to help you get as much help as you can while not taxing your bank account. So if we can help in those ways, if we can get people to understand that there's help available that could be free for those people who need that care, then everything gets better. It's really about taking control. And I think that's the part that I like. That's the phrase I would use, is being able to take control of your health care, right? Palliative care gives you more choices, things that you can use and try. It gives you the comfort of knowing that you're the one who's making the decisions, that you're not the victim of somebody else's plan. So we really want to promote that. So that kind of leads us into, so there is another article also, and this one was actually by written in Consumer Reports, and we thought that was interesting that Consumer Reports was doing that. And as I was reading the article, there was a good quote. It said, it could be very beneficial for people to consider hospice as an option as soon as they get a terminal diagnosis. And that's true. If you have been told that you have any type of diagnosis that may end your life, it would be better to know a little bit more early so that you can be prepared.
Absolutely.
So often people wait too long and miss out on the benefits and support the patient and family could have received. I think that's a great quote, and that's a good part of that article. And then it goes on to say, you know, what kind of care can we expect? And they went through and explained exactly what the minimum Medicare standard of care is on hospice. Typically, a family member provides daily care and gives medications. A hospice benefit generally provides access to a nurse on the phone 24/7, visits from a nurse once, you know, a week or every other week, visits from a nurse's assistant occasionally to help with certain things. That's all true. That's absolutely true. This article is absolutely true. It is just setting the bare minimum standard. If you aren't getting those things and you're on hospice, then the hospice company isn't performing what they need to do. But we are trying to get everybody to understand that there is so much more that can be available under hospice and, again, free. And so that's really where the distinction is.
When we say free, it's covered by your insurance. Right. Medicare and Medicaid cover the palliative provision under your hospice benefit 100% for free. And that's really the difference of taking advantage of it later versus, you know, earlier versus later. Yes, it is available to you at the very end, but then you don't get to take advantage of all the other benefits that come along with it.
Right.
It's
just a great way to manage that those last days.
Just remember, knowledge is power. If you can find out in advance what the program is and when it's available to you, you'll just be a better informed consumer or patient. And so just remember, you don't have to fear it. There's never an obligation. You're trying to educate yourself on when you are going to be eligible for the program.
All right. So knowledge is power. And today we're going to bring up a topic that is extremely uncomfortable to talk about.
And one that I have tried to put Richard off from talking about for several weeks. And it's kind of unfair because it's an uncomfortable topic. It is something that I wondered or questioned if our radio listeners were ready to, you know, hear us talk about it. But we've discovered what a great problem it really is for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And I think recognizing that you're not alone in the issue.
Well, and I think if we bring it up on the radio and we take the brunt of the embarrassment, and people at home can just kind of listen and take it in and have a little better starting point, then maybe we can get these conversations started. Here are some interesting things. This is an issue that plagues a huge portion of the community, and yet
are you leading up to it? Are you gonna say
we'll get some facts in first before everybody freezes up with. But only about a third of the people that suffer from it ever have a conversation with their doctor. Yeah. And that's the part that we'd like to overcome is, I guess, getting that conversation started. Because if we can have the conversation, then there may be solutions. If we never solve it, it just becomes a cascade of problems.
And the sooner you address it, the more likely you are to cure it, to overcome the problem. The longer you wait, the more severe it becomes and the more difficult it is to overcome.
So we've based this on a number of articles and publications. One of them is called Diagnosis and Management of Fecal Incontinence. That's an uncomfortable thing. I mean, but what we really need to understand is that it's not all the same issue.
And you also have to understand that if this is an issue that you are suffering with, you are not alone. And being uncomfortable, tiptoeing around the conversation with your doctor won't give him a clear picture of what's happening, and sooner rather than later.
So studies have shown about 3% of people as we age have this particular problem. Now, it's actually a group of problems, but have been willing to admit that they have the problem. Okay, so 3% of those surveyed have admitted that this has been a problem for them. Of those, and 3% at the best, if you're in an assisted living facility, that percentage goes up significantly. You know, where you're looking at 20%, even 35%. There's a number of different numbers there. The 3%, there's a 7% number. But just so you know, if it was only 3% in southern Utah, we're looking at, 250,000 people here. So that's 7,500 people in southern Utah are suffering with this. And of those, according to this study, only a third of those might have talked to the doctor about it. And the other two-thirds are just suffering with it. Now, the fact that it's embarrassing and may change our life enjoyment is one thing. But there are some health issues with it, too, that should and can be addressed if we are willing to have those conversations. So those are some important points. So let's talk about let's get into the nitty-gritty and, you know, talk about the dirty part of this. Clinically, there are three subtypes. Passive incontinence, the involuntary, I'm going to go with this a little slow, the involuntary discharge of stool or gas without awareness. We don't even know it happens. B.
Or you don't know it's going to happen.
That's right.
Sometimes you recognize that it happened after the fact.
Right. But we didn't have a chance to control it because we didn't see it coming. B, urgent incontinence, the discharge of fecal matter in spite of active attempts to retain bowel continence, right? And third is fecal seepage. And I think this is the one that most people are not really thinking of in here, but the leakage of stool following otherwise normal evacuation. So, you know, that's where we end up with those marks and things that we didn't expect. That seepage is sometimes fecal matter, sometimes it's mucus. There's a lot of different issues there. And this is where we want to talk about this a little bit. If we don't resolve that issue and we retain that, we start out getting diaper rash. Though that diaper rash, if not addressed, can become sores. Those sores then can become infected. That infection can be critical. And the amount of time it takes to get from one to the next is not counted in months or weeks, but in counted in hours and days, really. It doesn't take long to have that problem. So being able to address it, being able to find ways to reduce it, being able to find ways to deal with it or solve it altogether. And that's one of the interesting parts. And what I'd like to say is, you know, we've got a number of these articles that we've pulled together. And if you have some real specific questions, give our office a call. We'll email it to you so that you can review it. Because there's a lot of information about potential ways to solve it, ways to talk to your doctor about it. If you understand what your doctor is going to ask you before he asks, then you can be better prepared to get better answers. And so that's, you know, some very important things that we want to be able to talk about. So the diversity here is quite large. How it affects you, and then why does it affect you? There are a wide range of possible reasons that you may be having this problem. It could be short term, okay? It could be long term. There are some simple things that we can do to try and resolve it. We're not going to try and diagnose it over the air. That, you know, wouldn't be even possible. But we just want to inform so that you can work your way towards a good, solid diagnosis and a plan to resolve it.
And did you realize that in the United States, fecal incontinence is the second leading cause for placement in nursing homes? That's kind of scary.
Yeah, you so let that sink in.
Yeah, we should probably address this sooner so that it doesn't become an issue that that can't be resolved, that causes, you know, placement in a nursing home.
Well, and the placement in a nursing home, just, you know, when we're talking about $4,500 a month. $4,500 a month just because of that. If there are ways to solve that where we don't have that long-term care cost, I think that's, you know, a huge factor. And so if we just understand what, you know, what the problem is and some ways to deal with it, and let me just say that if you or a loved one have this problem and are seeing some negative results, that you are dealing with diaper rash or you have sores, then give our office a call and we'll come out and see if we can solve that for you or at least address those so it doesn't get worse. You know, we'll do that just because we care about the people in this community. So if it's an issue that needs to be resolved right now because it's life-threatening, because there's sores that could lead to infection that, you know.
And considering the bacteria that is, you know, obviously present, it's a real concern. It is something that you need to be comfortable bringing up with your doctor. Talk to us. We would love to help you. But both the embarrassment and the social stigma attached to this disorder often delays the presentation as well as the treatment for several years. And that's just too much risk. It's too difficult to overcome the challenge at that point.
Right. So there are some things we can do with our diet that can help. Certainly more fiber may be able to help relieve that. Managing our toileting habits, you know, some things like, and again, you'll want to talk to your doctor to find out what the underlying cause is, but even things that we can try at home, don't push so hard is an important thing. And try being in more of a squatting position, which helps for that flow so that we can fully evacuate. And
there are also exercises that can be done, and there's also medications that can help. There are a number of things that can help you with this issue. But can I read this? Because I thought this was so important. This report from American Journal of Gastroenterology is just one of many that explores the detailed causes and treatments. There was a whole study on the lack of communication by patients with their doctors on this subject and outlines some things that doctors could try to get the conversation started. I don't think it is on the New York bestseller list, so don't be surprised if your doctor hasn't read it. But that is why you need to be your own best medical advocate so that you can help your doctor help you. I thought that was so interesting that it specifically said, be your own best medical advocate. One more time, you know, Elder Care Radio is trying to help you understand those things that we may just think are insignificant or a problem that are going to go away. But as seniors, we don't heal like we used to when we were 30, and we don't recover quite as well as we used to. And issues become, you know, life-threatening problems if they aren't dealt with. This is something that has come up several times since we started our company, and often we will read narratives and things in the doctor's notes that indicate it's an issue that could have been dealt with, but it was just addressed too late.
So if your doc, if you've had this conversation with your doctor, and that may be a rare occurrence, and your doctor has said, well, you're getting old, then you probably need to do some more research on your own so that you can come back and have a more meaningful conversation with your doctor to find that resolution. So I'm going to, when it comes to determining the cause, there's quite a bit of information that your doctor should have in order to do that. And I'm just going to read a start of this explanation. Many patients who suffer with fecal incontinence or soiling take refuge under the term diarrhea or urgency. So further characterization is desirable, and this is for the doctor. This is all written for the doctor. So this can include an assessment of its duration, its progression. I mean, the duration. How long has this been going on? Its progression. Has it been getting worse? Its nature. So explain, and it goes into some options here. Incontinence of flatus, which means that maybe we get more than gas coming out when we didn't expect it. Liquid stool or solid stool, and its impact on the quality of life. It's important for the doctor to know the impact on your quality of life. If it's keeping you from going out because you're afraid of being in a bad situation, then that really is an issue that should be addressed. If it's an issue that's causing you health concerns, it's an issue that needs to be addressed. So let's get those things addressed. The use of pads and other devices and the ability to discriminate between formed and unformed stool and gas should be inquired. So I think those are all critical things that you need to have a conversation with your doctor about. Be prepared. If you want a copy of this article, we'd love to send it to you so that you can get all the details, because it goes into great detail about everything else. So this is what we want everyone listening to understand. If your loved one is having a problem with bladder or bowel control and are starting to develop pain or sores, those sores are critical and need to be resolved quickly. If they exist, call our office, and that number is 435-477-6999, and see if we can help solve it. We can come to you. We can actually send somebody to your home if that is necessary. See if we can help you heal that wound and develop a plan to manage it going forward. We would love to do that. We would encourage you to talk to your doctor also, but if it's right now, you shouldn't have to wait 3 or 4 weeks to make an appointment. Let's get it resolved. We may be able to do that at no cost. It isn't something to be embarrassed about. Really, this is...
Well, we'll definitely send our nurses out at no cost. Just so you know, we want to help this community live a better life. So we will come to you.
And this is a common condition, and it's more common as we mature, you know, mature like fine wine or cheese. So our telephone number, 435-477-6999, pathwayhospicecare.com.